So, the topic, marriage or mirage, and of course it's not an original title, but it's a really good title because I was just thinking over the two words and people's perspective of marriage and how they see it. And the fact that maybe for many of us, because it's a lifestyle or because it's a way of life that maybe we have never experienced, never entered ourselves into, that we will have a number of, if you like, expectations of what it will be like, that you've saved yourself, you preserve yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your life partner, and you have all these dreams and expectations. And if we're not careful, it's one of those things which, if you're not influenced in the correct way, or you don't have the correct and realistic expectations of what marriage is about, then it can become something, when you enter into it, it can be a shock to you. It can be something that you're not prepared for. So I think if we can take at least to give some reality to what marriage is all about, to remove some not quite true expectations of what marriage is all about. What does Islam tell us? What does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tell us about marriage? What did the Prophet alayhi salam tell us about marriage? How did the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how did they deal with their marriages? And of course there are many anecdotal kind of stories that we can mention about marriage and so on. But I guess the most important thing is that whether you're married or not, that there can be some fa'idah, there can be some benefit that is mentioned tonight, inshallah ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from anything that I've said is in line with the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the statements of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to us a revelation, a divine revelation, which will, if you like, form, and it should form our outlook and understanding of where we live. That the laws that Allah Jalla wa Ala gave to us will govern us. The fact that we say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is that we, part of that is our acknowledgement that we believe that the guidance that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us is supreme and is above everything. And that what Allah Jalla has given to us is the optimal way for any human being to live. The very best way. And if a person chooses other than that, then the person has not only chosen second best, but has chosen a way which may lead them to a path of destruction, to a life of misery, to a life of sadness. So adhering to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, whether it's to do with marriage, whether it's to do with interactions with others, or buying and selling, and first and foremost, our ibadah. If we don't adhere ourselves to that, submit to that, then the person is really putting themselves in a very, very difficult position. So if I can just mention, because the topic is so large, it's not something that can be covered really, and there's no expectation that I'm going to cover everything for you, but the topic of marriage is something which you should constantly be learning about. It's part of our lives, it's part of our society. It's something that's frequently mentioned in the Quran, frequently mentioned in the Sunnah. There are books of fiqh and there are sub-chapters, Kitabun Nikah, the book of marriage. So there's a lot about it that we need to learn. It's not something you will take in one session or a number of sittings, but it is something that you will benefit from, not only from the divine sources, the Quran and the Sunnah, but also to take the advices and benefits from fellow brothers, fellow sisters. You can take their experiences from that, and it is also very, very important that we are not robots. We don't just install the barnamage of the Quran and the Sunnah into our lives and that we will act accordingly. No, we are not like that. We are human beings. We will make mistakes. We will have misunderstandings. There will be shortcomings in our understandings and how we approach matters. How do I, you know, there's a million and one examples. How do you speak to your wife in different situations and vice versa? So we also include into the matter how we will benefit from one another. And one of the things that I would highly recommend is that we, within our communities, if, and I'm sure, mashallah, there are many individuals who are involved in, you know, family counseling and family advice centers and units and counselors and whatnot. The presence of that is extremely important. But also the setup of, if you like, marriage courses. Not just knowing what, you know, what constitutes a valid nikah and what will invalidate a nikah. No, I'm talking about, you know, حقوق, talking about rights, talking about responsibilities, مسؤوليات, that what is upon the husband, that what is upon the wife. And if for all intents and purposes, if you don't know what the rights that have been placed upon you as a husband or as upon a wife, and then you get married, and you're not aware of what to do, then it is likely you're going to oppress the other partner. You're not going to give them what there is their haq, there is their due. And if this is, you know, over a period of time, then you may be, of course, you will be accountable for that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything starts from where? Everything starts from, as we know, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us about the qissa to Adam wa Hawa, alayhim salam, from the time of Adam and his wife Hawa, the first man and the first woman. And that from them, all generations, they came. If you look at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, if you look at the verses in Surah Al-Dhariyat, that from everything we created Zawjain, that there were two partners. If you look at the verse in Surah Al-Hujarat, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and it was one of the most comprehensive verses, if you like, in the Quran concerning Asl al-Bashariyya, the Asl or the origin of humankind, and how they start and how they get to know one another. And I think it's with verses like this, and when you put it in the light of what we're talking about, it's good to ponder over it for a while, to think about what benefits we can extract from that verse and how it's applicable to the topic that we're talking about. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you know, we are talking about marriage, we're talking about husband, we're talking about wife, we're talking about man, we're talking about woman. These are fundamental principles for us, which once upon a time maybe wasn't much of a discussion. Not much of a discussion talking about husband and wife. But if you're living in a mujtama', if you're living in a society where there isn't such, well, there's more than husband and wife, there's wife and wife, there's husband and husband, there's multiple approaches. The Muslim can be confused depending on what they're exposed to from a very, very young age. When they're going to school from the age of 4 and 5 and 6 and things like that, they're reading books that it is absolutely fine to have these different forms of marriage. If they're not cleansed, their minds are not cleansed from an Islamic perspective, then of course they will be very confused. And if they're not confused, meaning that, yeah, I know this exists, at least from an Islamic perspective, we want to teach them هذا غير مقبول, that from an Islamic perspective, this is not acceptable. So this verse in Surah Al-Hujarat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O mankind, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُم مِّن ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى, that we created you from man and from woman. This is how we made you from the very, very start. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ, and that we made you into like tribes and nations. لِتَعَارَفُوا, that you get to know one another. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, that the most honored in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who possesses, who has most taqwa. I was asked a question yesterday. What's the best dua for me to ask for taqwa? What's the best dua for me to ask for taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal? Well, first and foremost, you want to understand, well, what is taqwa? Oh Allah, give me taqwa. Oh Allah, Allahumma ruzqni taqwa. Allahumma ja'alni min al-muttaqeen. Oh Allah, grant me taqwa. Oh Allah, make me from the muttaqeen. Well, if you look carefully, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say concerning the muttaqeen? If you're really that, you know, intent in wanting to be or to have taqwa, then note what are the characteristics? And how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe those people with taqwa in the first place? So you can go to the verses, many of them, in Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the sifat of, or the characteristics of, the muttaqeen. So then it's not just about you asking for the end game, oh Allah, you know, grant me taqwa. That there are many things maybe to be in place before you come or become from those muttaqeen. You know, those who establish the prayer and give zakah, those who will be kind and generous and compassionate to others, all part of taqwa. So sometimes there is more to ask than just asking for the end game. It's important for you to do some research, for you to do some study, so that you can, of course, be the optimum of who you want to be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowledgeable and all aware of fine details. So, if you like, from the beginning of humankind, there's man and there's woman. And then there are verses concerning an-nikah, concerning marriage, concerning the agreement between man and woman. Whether the verse, again, at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ. So you marry from whom you love, from who is good for you. 2, 3, or 4. And if you are not, you know, sure that you'll be just to those wives, then you suffice yourself with one wife. So the command, the verses concerning marriage specifically, are very clear in the Quran, how and what we should be looking for, how to approach marriage. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I mean, for some, this is going quite quickly over some of the verses that I mentioned to you in or concerning marriage. Also the verses in Surah Nur in verse number 33. Then the Prophet alayhi salam, we go to the Sunnah. The Prophet alayhi salam tells us, Ya ma'shar al-shabab, O youth, addressing the youngsters, the youth. Man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj, whoever is able or has the ability to marry, then let them marry. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ, that it is an aid and will help you lower your gaze. وَأَحْسَنَ لِلْفَرْجِ, and allows you to protect your chastity. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ وِجَاءَ, that a person is not able to do that, then let them fast. Because that is something will help you have control over your desires. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, the reason I'm mentioning this approach, if you like, it is not just me just throwing out ayat from Quran and throwing a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa just for you to listen to. I'm sure you've heard them before. But for us to have, if you look carefully, what marriage is and what a mirage is, that mirage is that you, something appears to you, but there's no reality to that. When you actually arrive at what you thought was there, it's not there, it was a mirage, it's not real. Similarly, when we're talking about marriage, we start from what Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about in the Quran, how it is defined and how we are to approach it. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ has defined many things about encouraging the youth to marry, not to delay marriage, the fact that the youth are addressed. Also, it is one of those matters which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help that individual if they have a sincere intention to fulfill it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. ثَلَاثَةٌ حَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَوْنَهُمْ, there are three individuals that it is right upon Allah to help that individual. الْمُجَاهِدُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُكَاتِبُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْأَدَاءُ وَالنَّاكِحُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْعَفَافِ, the one who fights in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will help that person. And the one who is a slave and they agree with their sayyid, their master, that they will pay their way out of slavery. This is called a mukatab. The person who has the intention, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, will help that individual. And thirdly, the nakih, the one yuridu al-afaf, the one who is protect themselves, to protect their chastity, to protect their honor. The person wants to marry for that reason, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help that person. How will they be helped? They will be helped in their search and who they're looking for, and upon them finding somebody who is suitable for themselves, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for them, that Allah azza wa jalla will open a way for them. And there are another of narrations concerning this, that especially the one who wants to get married, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help that person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited at-tabattul, which is, if you like, celibacy, never to get married. Okay, we'll never get married. The Prophet ﷺ prohibited that. And as we know that there was a direct hadith, نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن التبتل, that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited celibacy, a person to make an oath never to get married. We're not allowed to do that. Nor are we individuals or people or Muslims that we reside, if you like, in like monks, 23 hours or in the masjid or in the place of worship, not engaging in the outside, not having time for your family. In fact, that there are a couple of examples where the Prophet ﷺ came across a couple of companions whom were so engaged in their ibadah, so engaged in their worship, that they neglected their wives. From them, Abdullah ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet ﷺ is in the early time in Islam, in the Madani period, that his wife, if you like, was seen in a way which looks, you know, she's not presenting herself in a good way. If your husband comes home, you know, you don't want to meet that in that way. So the Prophet ﷺ asks, why is it that you're in this particular manner? You're not dressing yourself when your husband comes home. She says, well, You know, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he's a person who is always fasting, he's always engaged in ibad, he has no time for me. So when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu returns, the Prophet questions and asks him if this is the case. He says, you know, this is not from my way, are you going against my way? And he says, of course not, Ya Rasulullah. In fact, quite opposite, I want to be as much as I can from your way. And so here the Prophet explains to him that there are days when I don't fast, there are nights when I don't pray, parts of the night when I don't pray. So you need to make sure that you give the haqq to your family, so that what may appear to a fool, even though it is not celibacy, because he's married, anything that even gets close to that, not fulfilling the rights of your spouse, or a person is living the life of a monk, if you like, so engaged in ibadah, forgetting their family, this was rebuked by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is the way of the messengers, the way of the prophets of the past. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ. We sent messengers who came before you. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. We made for them wives and we made for them children and offspring. So the Quran and the Sunnah explicitly clear about the encouragement, about establishing marriage in the life. The Prophet ﷺ explained to us that having or being married is half of your deen. Who's heard half of your deen? Who's heard getting married is half of your religion? Who can mention a hadith concerning it? Well, that's the only part you know. Sah wa lala, it's true. Oh, getting married is half your deen. Is that hadith or not? Or is it ayah of the Quran even? Can anybody name the ayah to me this, concerning this? No? There's no ayah concerning this. There's definitely a hadith, yes. But for many of us, it's like piecemeal bits of information that we kind of just share around, isn't it? You know, get married and it's half of your deen. Really? Yeah, what's the hadith? Who's it narrated by? Allahu alam, I don't know. Maybe it's a statement of a companion. Maybe it's something that's just, you know, mixed amongst the people. In any case, the hadith is in Ibn Majah, narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nikahu sunnati. That marriage or nikah is my sunnah. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِهِ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. That who does not act upon my sunnah is not from me. وَتَزَوَّجُوا. And get married. فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمْ وَالْأُمَمَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That I will be very happy and that you are in large numbers on the day of judgment. وَمَنْ كَانَ ذَوْ طَوْلٍ فَلْيَنْكِحْ. And that the one who is able to get married, or who has the ability to do so, then let them do so. And know that, and marriage is shatru al-iman, or shatru al-deen, that marriage is half of the deen. فَلْيَتَّقِي فَالنِّصْفَ الْبَاقِي. And let them fear the other half. So here we have clear evidence to say that marriage represents half of your religion. Half of what you're going to undertake in your path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all realistic things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to us, and similarly the Prophet alayhi salam, things that we can achieve. Now, when we're talking about az-zawaj, or we're talking about nikah, it's important that for a person to work towards it, that you know about its benefits. Fawaidun nikah, or fadlun nikah, its virtues, its blessings, the goodness that can come from that. Now, the hadith, which I mentioned is Ibn Majah, is also in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Man razaqa Allahu imra'atan saliha, faqad a'anahu ala shatri dinihi falyattaqillaha fi shatri al-baqi. That whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a pious wife, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled him and helped him complete half of his religion, then let him fear the other half. Now when we're talking about marriage, we're not talking about the contract itself. In fact, if you're talking about the reality of marriage, we're talking about a long way before you even have found somebody. Before you've even found somebody, because it starts way before that. It starts about, if you like, from your parents. You see your parents and you see how your father and your mother, how they interact with one another. This is your understanding of what marriage is about, maybe. Or if you look at in more detail, more something more practical for all of us, you look at the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and how he would be with his wives, and similarly the wives with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The dua that you would make, the approach that you would have with your family members. There is this story, there was this man, and he made dua that he wanted to marry a beautiful woman. And in fact, there was a distant relative, and she was extremely beautiful. And so he presented himself to the father of the girl, and he was accepted immediately. He was a good man. He was making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma razaqni mar'atun jameela. Oh Allah, grant me a woman who is very beautiful, wadhatu deen, and also has religion. So when he sat with her and he spoke with her, he found that really she was very beautiful, but she was a person who had really no manners at all. No manners. Bad akhlaq. So he continued in his bath. He searched for somebody. And then he found a woman who wasn't as beautiful as that woman. But she was, alhamdulillah, acceptable to him. But he saw that she was there to deen. She was absolutely a person of religion, person of deen. She loved Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And so they were married. And so a few months passed. And so then he said one night to this man, because he used to think about that woman that he didn't marry. He said he woke up one night and he noticed out of the corner of his eye, he saw his wife praying in the corner of the room, praying Qiyamul Layl, Tahajjud. And he didn't say anything. And he was fully unaware how long had this been going on for, how long had this been happening. She never woke him. She was just praying Qiyamul Layl. And that fell in his heart. That was what he was really looking for. And that is what increased his love for her. That in terms of Jamal and beauty, and it may be something which is subjective, yes, of course. But to him, the way that she was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what he was really looking for. And so that he didn't say anything, he went back to sleep. Every time he saw his wife, he knew that and he felt that Allah Jalla wa Ala had granted him really what he was looking for. And that was a woman of deen. And that what was the real beauty, that what was he was looking for. Because something like that, if Allah Azza wa Jalla wills, will never disappear, whether you are 20, 30, 40 or 50 years old, 60 years old. That beauty of that action will never go away. However, the beauty of an individual, the person, absolutely yazul, will go away. As you get older, you don't look as good as you did and as you are younger. And also, that the fact that you are with somebody all the time, you get used to it. It's just nature of how Bani Adam is. You get used to that beauty. So it's not like you first met them. You eventually get used to that. So the beauty doesn't seem as it was at the beginning. However, the beauty of the action. And when we remember the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, tunkahul mar'a li arba, that the woman is married for four reasons. In general, maybe there's a fifth one, maybe you can pick it out. But generally, women are married for four reasons. Li hasabiha, for her status. Okay? Aw li maliha, or for her money. Aw li jamaliha, or for her beauty. And lastly, li diniha, for her religion. Deen is mentioned last. Most people will look for the status of a woman and her money and her beauty. Lastly, the last thing they're going to look at is the deen. Now, does it mean that you disregard the others? Just find somebody who's, you know, religious and you don't care how they look? No, because part of nikah, part of marriage is al-afaf. Part of marriage is what is that you are able to feel chaste, to protect yourself. You feel attracted to somebody. It's absolutely part of it. But the most important, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Not ikhtar. The Prophet didn't say ikhtar ذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Choose the one. with deen. Fadhfar bidhati is like snatch and grab the one who has, of course, metaphorically, you're not going to grab her like that, right? Fadhfar means like metaphorically grab and just take that opportunity, not just to choose. So the Prophet said, take that. Take that one with deen. That is what will really give you happiness. That is what will remain. That is what will remain. All the others, they come and they go. Status, jamal, money. A person may say, well, yes, maybe the deen can come and go as well. If it goes, it's a musibah, it's a big problem. But the thing is that you've done something for the sake of Allah Jalla wa'ala, and you hope that will remain. So, al-fitrat al-salima, the pure natural state, is that the man and the woman, they will look for that person is going to make them happy. Because you want to be happy. What are you going to look, what kind of happiness are you looking for? The ultimate happiness, the longevity of that happiness will be found in the one who has deen. And similarly, as the Prophet ﷺ said to the woman, that if a man comes to you, tardawna deenuhu wa khuluquhu, you're happy with his religion and his manners, fazawwiju, then marry that person. So deen and manners were put together. That they were put together. So, each, the Prophet ﷺ said to the man, why, well, different type of women that they would marry, and similarly, and what you should choose, and similarly for a woman, what you should be looking for. What you should be looking for. Now, that desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within us, this part of our fitrah, it has to have boundaries. Has to have boundaries. If it's not curbed, if it doesn't have any boundaries, then that will lead that person to destruction. If you don't control those desires, whatever those desires are, those natural things that Allah Jalla wa'ala placed within you, eating and drinking and looking at the other gender and things, these are all natural things that Allah Azza wa Jalla placed in man and woman. And if they don't have boundaries, if they don't have boundaries, that will lead to the destruction of that individual or a society. Therefore, the guidance that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us is the very best guidance to preserve the individual and to preserve the society. If that fitrah becomes corrupted by shaitan, if shaitan corrupts the fitrah of that individual, meaning that corruption could mean that what is deemed halal and tayyib by Allah Azza wa Jal, now in the eyes of that individual is khabith and mardood. Imagine that. Is now wrong, filthy and rejected. That person's fitrah has become corrupted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to have control or direct those behaviors with a relation with another person in or under the umbrella or the scope of az-zawaj, under marriage. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma taraktu ba'di fitnatun adarra 'ala ar-rijali min an-nisa'." I have not left a fitna which is more harmful upon the man than women. Now, does this mean that women are blameworthy? Because we're talking about fitna, and fitna are in women. Let's not mix things up. The fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said from the biggest fitan towards the end of time is what? The Dajjal. And we seek Allah as refuge in our salah, in all of our salawat. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnat Masih ad-Dajjal. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the fitna of Masih ad-Dajjal. The Dajjal himself is evil himself. The essence of what the Dajjal is evil. So we seek refuge in that and from that. However, when the Prophet ﷺ said that I've not left a fitna which is more harmful upon men than women, doesn't mean the women are evil. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that the fitna that you can fall into, what you can or what can occur between the man and the woman if it is not controlled, will be more harmful to the man than anything. So it doesn't mean that the woman is herself something evil, but the fitna that he will fall into, which he will be part of, not necessarily she is the one who is the cause of the fitna. He hasn't controlled himself, not in control of his desires. So he falls into a fitna. And that fitna, the draw of a woman, is something more harmful to the man more than anything else. And in fact, it was the awwal fitna to Bani Adam, Bani Israel. It was the first fitna that corrupted, one of the first fitnas that corrupted the society of Banu Israel. So this is an affirmation of the temptation of women and the weakness of men. The weakness of men and the temptation that lies in women. So marriage allows us to protect ourselves from that fitna. Being married allows you to be unfulfilled responsibilities as a man. Just a few days ago, I was asked this question. Is there a book about manhood that tells you how to be a man? Is there a book written on this? Of course, I'm sure there are many books written by kuffar about how to be a man. But how they define about what is to be a man, maybe a lot of it is questionable. Because you think, what are their sources? Where are they getting these definitions from? How are they defining to you and I, what's a man? So I have to be very careful from an Islamic perspective what we define as manhood, to be a man, to fulfill responsibilities of what Allah Azza wa Jal had made upon a man. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرَ كَالْأُنْثَى. That Allah Azza wa Jal did not make the male the same as a female. There are fundamental differences and there are fundamental similarities. The majority are similar, but there are fundamental differences. However, marriage allows you to fulfill responsibilities and roles that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made crystal clear of how to be a husband, how to be a father, and how to be a man within that frame. And in fact, if you look at the Quran, that from the ayat, from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the creation, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, look at Surah Ar-Rum, okay? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many verses talks about وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ and from His signs, and His signs, the creation of the heavens and the earth, the creation of the sun and the moon, the seas and all the kawn, the universe as we see it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that He created from your own selves, from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, He created from your own selves as wajah, wives. How is this from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? After talking about the universe, sun and moon and seas and mountains, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about, and from His signs is that He made for you wives. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in some detail, what are these signs? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And that from the great, if you like, objectives, is that you'll find tranquility and a second, a lack of no problems, that you'll find this with your spouse. One of the main objectives of the marriage is that you find tranquility and peace and happiness with the other person. Because if you look at everything that you do in every part of your day, it's somehow connected, whether it's conscious or not. It's all about survival and being happy. Everything that you're doing and protecting yourself from harm. If you look at the how Allah Azza wa Jalla created us, it's about you wanting to find some form of happiness, protecting yourself from harm. All centers around these things. Whether it's conscious or unconscious, or you're thinking about it or not. You came here maybe because you want to learn some benefit, the talk. There's a meal at the end, maybe you came for that. Maybe there's a jam'ah, or there's a mix between the two. No, but it's no problem. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, your actions are by your intentions. But nonetheless, that you felt there was some fa'idah, there's some benefit, some goodness that was coming your way, whatever that may be. You don't come here thinking you're going to be harmed. So from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He made for you wives, and for, of course, otherwise they have husbands. And that with them, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, the ultimate objective is that you feel tranquil and happy with them. And that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, and that it is Allah Azza wa Jal who is going to make this affection and mercy between you. And Allah Azza wa Jal will grant these to people who are submitting to Him. So if the people are following the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, He will grant them this mawadda and this rahmah. this affection and love, and this mercy. And that these are signs for a people who ponder. That happiness is granted to people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that you will be able to dig out yourselves and you will make your own happiness. No. It is Allah azza wa jalla is the one who is going to grant that to you. Entering into marriage is one of the ways in which the person can gain reward, and it connects to the point that I mentioned, or the hadith that I mentioned earlier about completing half of your religion. That there are a number of aspects and things within marriage that you can only do while married. There are certain hasanat and some certain good deeds that you're rewarded for and being engaged in only when married. Spending time with your wife, spending on your family, on your wife, on your children, can be considered the best of some narrations. Khayru sadaqa, the best of charity that you will give is the charity that you spend on your ahl, on your family. Raising your kids, having kids in halal. This is only under the umbrella of marriage. So therefore, being married, we can understand how it is half of our religion, that there are certain things which only when you are married that you can conduct and that you can have. So these are some of the benefits that you will have or you can achieve while being married. In 2021, here in the UK, for the first time since they started statistics, there were more children born out of marriage than in marriage. In 2021, more children born out of marriage, it was something like 51 point something percent, more children outside of marriage than in marriage. We are living in a society which is very quickly, if not in certain pockets, morally corrupt, an absence of morals, an absence of, no, when I say absence of morals, we're talking about from how we understand what is morality, good and bad, good, evil, righteousness and oppression. This is our moral compass, is the Quran and the Sunnah. We're living in a society where that's completely absent, doesn't exist. So fornication is adi. Fornication, no problem. There's no sin for that. There's no comebacks for that. Being children out of wedlock, there's nothing. So just one or two generations ago, you would find that the number of children born out of wedlock in terms of percentages would be in single digits. And now, within the space of 40 years or 50 years, that's now moving in the complete opposite direction where there's more children out of marriage than in marriage. But then so what? What's the problem? Why is that issue? So this means that a zina is prevalent, is the majority. Zina is the majority. And okay, I just protect myself. Well, how does that affect us as a community? How does that affect you living in a society where zina is the majority? That's what most people do. Most people, maybe if you like, the majority of people don't pray. The majority of people drink alcohol. The majority of people in the society that you live in are falling into all of these haram. Where do you think that puts yourself? Or do you think that you are at risk? Do you see yourself as at risk? Or have you given yourself a protection, a guarantee that I'm at zero risk being surrounded by all munkarat? Maybe this munkar or these types of munkar are so prevalent that actually you become numb to it and you don't actually notice it anymore. It's just, you don't even see it anymore. It's just normal for you to see all of these munkarat, to see all of these evils. Imagine a Muslim who wants to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, wants to be from the very best in the akhirah, lives in such a society. I'm not calling people to start making hijrah now and stuff like that. I'm not getting onto that. What I am saying is that one has to be wary of all the risks that they put themselves at being exposed to so many things. to so many things which are contrary to our deen. So, marriage is one of those things which will help you, which will aid you and protect you from so many of these vices and ills in society, like fornication. And the statistics I was just reading through today, of course, I don't want this to make to be a statistic session, but also the things which go on in the society about STDs and how prevalent that is in society. Whether you get statistics from the United States or get, you know, statistics from this country, it's just mind-blowing, the statistics, that what's happening because of the promiscuity of people and zina, and what the harm that causes a community with disease, with illness, with the breakdown of society, single-parent families. And, you know, statistics like, well, because they all have a domino effect, And that, for example, let's say in this country, 44% currently of under 21s have never lived with both parents. 44% of under 21s here in the UK have never lived with two parents. So there's a breakdown in having parents together. Broken families, single parent families, 3% of children are in care. 3% of children don't have any parent, not living with their parent. I mean, there's a number of reasons behind that. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're all bad situations. But because there's other people looking after these children, and there's, and I was looking at statistics on this as well, about there were massive abuse cases in North Wales and in Doncaster and in Manchester, all these suburbs and places in the outskirts of some of these cities where these children were in, were in care and not looked after. It's a knock-on effect, by the way, of the things that I'm talking about, where there's promiscuity and fornication. Father is not on the scene at all, has no responsibility, has no commitment to any situation, is gone. And the woman is left in a very, very dire situation. Maybe she can't look after her children or child. That child gets put into care. Well, who's looking after that child? We don't know. There's so many failings on each of these levels in a society where they're not living by Allah Azza wa Jalla's guidance. So when we're talking about marriage or mirage, a lot of us, when we're seeing on social media, we're looking at YouTube and we're looking at Instagram and TikTok and all of these other platforms, all of which is giving you the majority of the time, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, 1 minute, little anecdotal piece of reminder and this. It's not reality. It's not reality. 99% of it is just not reality. But the thing is, that is what you're going to program yourself as to what is reality. When people are more often now, when, you know, a brother comes on, he has his wife there on social media talking about this and that and the other. What's happening here? What's happening here? What business does this individual be putting his family, his folk on in front of millions of people potentially? But then that's normalizing this practice. You know, 15, 20 years ago, that was, well, 15, 20 years ago, you probably didn't have social media, but this is unheard of. It's unheard of, doing things like that. And, you know, Muslim communities. But now new generation, sad, is normal. It's normal. With your wife, you can do these things. You can become influencers. You can become well off. You can become rich by doing things like that. So, depending on what the society that we live in, what we expose ourselves to, this may impact us unknowingly. You know, children, for example, moving back to the point I was mentioning about how fornication, zina, which is prevalent now, how that impacts the society. Children that are brought up in a single parent family are 14 more times now to fall into rape crimes. 14 more times likely. Statistics, 20 more times likely to end up in prison. Of course, inshallah ta'ala, within a Muslim community, we'd hope that we would be free from such things. But again, if we're not aware and be careful of the situation, what we're exposing ourselves to, who knows that how that's going to impact the Muslim community. Also, one of the big ills and the big shames that people are in divorce is pornography. The ease that people can just go find it. You didn't need to go like it was many, people would go to have to go to special shops, the, I don't know what they call it, the adult shop or something like that to buy whatever's there. Don't need to do such things now. You can have your devices. It's websites, you just type it in and it's right there in front of you. How that is affecting the Muslim mind, corrupting the Muslim mind, the expectations he will have in his life, in her life. And when they get married, because they've been watching this filth and has programmed their minds to have certain expectations when they get married, because their mind is completely corrupt now, that you find that this person doesn't satisfy me to the extent now that there is, if you like, websites and people, they will offer their services to advise you. But this is how it's become. If you pay $30,000, we'll find your husband, we'll find your wife. $30,000, they'll find your partner. $30,000, and they will find your partner. I don't know what they're going to find you. In any case, this fornication, if we're not careful and expose, the pornography, studies that have been done concerning how it impacts the mind, but it becomes like as addictive as like cocaine and heroin. That if a person doesn't protect themselves in that they will be drawn towards that time and time and time again. So all of these things that are out there, you don't have to go very far. How it will corrupt the mind of a Muslim, and how that will impact them about their expectations with regards to life as a husband or as a wife. You know, going back to a masjid or going to a halaqa or going to a place to study about what? Let's study about how we should have these marriage courses and in educating Muslims how to be a husband, the manners of the Prophet ﷺ with his wives. Or for example, the akhlaq or the manners of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ with him, the sahaba and so. All of that's just unknown to people. It's just unknown to people. They're just taking, you know, the alim has become the social media. And the individuals, whether what they're saying is valid or not, or sahih or not, who knows? But that's their educator. That's their teacher now. All that being said, alhamdulillah, the Muslims are increasing in number. Alhamdulillah. But the fact that Muslims are increasing in number, we don't just want, you know, Muslims who are just have Muslim names. You know, we don't another million Mo's or another million K's. No, we want people who are honored by their identity of who they are, their names, where they came from. These are the type of Muslims we want. We don't want just the foam on the sea. So yes, Muslims are increasing, but the Muslims increasing in their number, we want quality in their numbers. It's not always about numbers, but the fact is, the reality is that Muslims are increasing. So we deal with that, the fact that they are increasing. We want these numbers to be of quality. Muslims who are attached and love their deen, who are educated, that when they get married, we don't hide divorce rates, families breaking up. That the man thinks that when he gets married after 6 months, he's going to tell his wife, I'm getting married again, he's 19 years old. You can't satisfy me, you need to find somebody else. We don't want these types of attitudes. And this attitude is prevalent. This needs to move, this needs to be removed. You can't tell me it's haram though. Yeah, it's not about haram. It's not about haram. But we don't want you to destroy yourself. We don't want you to fail. So, as Muslims, it's important for us to have, you know, a broad spectrum of knowledge about how to approach the marriage. It starts way before you making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, granting you what is best for you, having real expectations, what will make you and give you real longevity and happiness in this life and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best of this life and the hereafter. We ask Allah azza wa jalla to grant us pious spouses, pious children. And that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to educate us and give us ilmun nafi', beneficial knowledge in those matters which allow us to gain a real quality closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Maybe there's an opportunity, I don't know how long we have left, but if I'll give you like maybe 5 minutes, if anyone has any questions about what I've said, then you can feel free to ask your question, inshallah ta'ala. and then we can eat together, inshallah. Yeah, there you are. So the definition of the roles of both husband and wife, how is that defined? Okay, so with regards to huquq, or with regards to rights, there are, if you like, you want to put it into three categories. There are huquq al-zawj, there are the rights that the husband has over his wife. And then there are rights which the wife has over her husband. And then there are al-huquq al-mushtaraka. And then there are shared rights, which they have equally over each other. So, for example, and this is why I think is really important to have like pre-marriage courses that you, a person should go on, whether it's a six-week course, it doesn't be 6 weeks, it could be like six classes or 12 classes, whatever the case may be. And you can deal with these issues. What are the rights of a husband? And what are the rights of a wife? And what are those shared rights? So the right of the husband that he financially provides for his wife, that he will treat her well, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, okay? And that he will provide for her food, and he will provide for her clothing, he will make sure that she is safe. These are all rights that the wife has over her husband. He has to provide that, okay? And similarly, the rights that he is aware that he has over her, that she protects his ird, his honor, she listens to him. These are huquq, whether you like it or not. It is what it is. But these are rights that they have over one another. Because this is how Allah Azza wa Jalla deemed this hierarchy. And then there are rights, you know, that they share. You know, they both command each other with ibadah, you know, commanding good, forbidding the evil, upholding the boundaries of Allah Azza wa Jalla in their homes. So if before you get married, you're fully aware of these things, then you know what you're going to be giving to, you know, your wife and to your husband. And, you know, these are things which you're working for. Because sometimes people getting married, what are we working for? What are we doing here? You know, I thought marriage was going to be like this. I thought we were just going to be like, you know, it's going to be the honeymoon period for the rest of our lives. I mean, it's not. The reason it's called honeymoon period because it lasts for a while. And then, you know, real life sits in. You know, you'll have up times, you know, low down times. Times you don't agree. And if we don't disagree, because I'm the husband, you have to listen to me. No, for intanaza'atum fi shay farudduhu ila Allahi wa Rasul. If you ever differ in a matter, take it back to Allah and His Messenger. Okay, it's a matter of iman. So these things are, you know, are well mentioned. And in fact, talking about before marriage, while married, and talks about one about children as well. These are good set of books, all authentically based upon Quran and Sunnah. Okay, Sheikh Muhammad Jibali. He's got a good set of books on the English language about these types of matters, about, you know, rights of husband and wife, and living together, dealing with children, and things like that. I would recommend those books, inshallah, if you can get hold of them. Wallahu a'lam. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Do you know what that usually means? just put it out there. No, you're good. Sorry. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so there are the brothers mentioning that, you know, let's say the sisters, that they want to make a condition that they want to work, yeah, like this, and they have a career and things like that. So, أَرْضُ wasi'ah, Allah's earth is very spacious. If you meet somebody, and because as a husband, as a man, and similarly for the sister, it goes both ways, there are certain things that you are looking for in that spouse. So, a man is looking for a wife that is, you know, what do you write in the forms? You're looking for a homemaker. Yeah, housewife. That's what I'm looking for, okay? I want somebody who's going to be at home. I don't want her to be working and things. And you're entitled to that haqq. You're entitled to that. So I find a woman who's going to fulfill that, you know, that what I'm looking for. if you call, you meet somebody and she wants to have a career and she wants to work, okay, alhamdulillah. May Allah well give you what you're looking for. If she's working, you know, in halal, you want to advise her, you know, as long as you're working in halal, may Allah, you know, find you somebody who's going to, you know, accept that, no problem. But like I say, there's millions of Muslims, millions of women, millions of men. You just find what's suitable for you. Don't get yourself into a situation where you are thinking with your heart. As best you can when you're looking for somebody, try not to think with your heart. If you think with your heart, the mas'ala is really difficult to get out of. The issue is difficult to get out with. Because if your heart is controlling them, it means that you're invested in that. It means, you know, you start saying stuff like, oh, I love them. You know, I mean, you just met them. What are you talking about? But I love them. They're, I can just feel it. You know, al-arwahu junud mujannada, that the souls are like soldiers. You know, and my soul has met that soul and it just kicked off. You know, I'm sure we met, you know, when Adam alayhi salam and his dhurri was spread out, we just met, I'm sure. You know, they start saying stuff like that. They're just thinking with their heart. So best you can, try not to be thinking with your heart. Just think with your mind. Best you can. These are the things I'm looking for in my spouse. You know, and it goes both ways. You know, and there's certain things we didn't talk about as well, about how to go about finding the spouse. You know, if there's just the two of you, know that there's something wrong. If there's just the two of you, something's wrong. Why? Because number three is shaitan. It's the hadith of the Prophet, I'm sure you know all of that. And 99 times out of 100, that the man is going to say stuff that he can't fulfill. He's going to say he can do this and he can do that. Maybe he has good intention. I want to do this and I want to do that. But he's doing things that probably he can only do in Jannah. He can't do in this dunya. You know, he's promised her Jannah. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And the fact is that the third person present there will allow that kind of talk to say, hey, what are you talking about? You know, that you can't be doing that, and you can't promise that, you can't do this, and you can't do that. So it allows them to have and be balanced in the speech that they have with one another. Okay, so that third person is absolutely essential. Okay, it's not like, well, let's get to know each other, and if it's a green light, then I'll take it to my, you know, my father, my willy. That's very risky, very dangerous. He's going to start saying all he needs to say to, because if he sees you as the one, you're the one, he's going to say what's necessary. And, you know, she is overtaken by that kalam, by that talk. Hearts are involved and both of them are thinking with their hearts, no longer with their minds anymore. And, you know, it was all a good intention about the wali being, you know, being involved at the beginning, or rather when it's necessary. The wali gets involved. Nah, I don't see him as suitable. Khalas, we'll just find another wali. Okay, so very, very risky, very dangerous to do those things where there's just two of you involved. Yeah. So just try to find that person who is best going to fulfill that criteria of what you're looking for, and have that criteria. Don't make it up as you go along when you meet the person. Before you go, this is what I'm looking for. These are foundations. You know, if you like, I don't want to say like unnegotiables, because most things are negotiable, but there are certain things which are, you know, maybe for you unnegotiable. This is a fixed thing for me. You know, I don't want my wife working. I would like her to be, you know, looking after the children, supporting the home. This is how I want things to work. That may be an unnegotiable for you. So if the sister's on that, then okay, khair, may Allah Azrael give you what you're looking for. We have a notion that, and there's a statement of Umar radiallahu anhu, if it's relevant, if I understood your question clear, about people just remaining in a marriage, maybe for other reasons. The husband and wife, they were attracted, they done it, you know, for the right reasons at the start. But over a period of years, they have children. Maybe that spark that they once had, maybe is not there. You know, that attraction that they had once upon a time, maybe is not there anymore. But they have children, they have other responsibilities. And that they remain in that aqd, they remain in that marriage for other reasons. Is that a problem? No, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. As long as you're upholding each other's rights. But it's not just you anymore, you and your husband or you and your wife. There's other responsibilities. There's children involved now. And you know, a man came to me and said, I don't love my wife. He said, how many marriages do you think are based upon, you know, this hub and this love? Some of this is just about responsibility. It's about mas'uliyah. It's about mas'uliyah. And essentially, that's what it is. It's kullukum ra' wa kullukum mas'ul wa kullukum mas'ulun li ra'iyatihi. That all of you are responsible and responsible for your flock. So there are times when staying within a marriage, maybe just for the responsibility's sake, which as long as you're giving people their huquq and their rights, people aren't unhappy, then that's fine. That's fine. I thought, actually, and it reminds me of another issue as well, which is another big problem within our community, is, you know, the expectations of what happens after marriage. I know this is not the topic now, but if you like, what happens when a marriage does break down and it does go, you know, you go your own ways, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has permitted that, talaq, with regards to children and responsibilities towards children. At all times, we must refer to what Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger alayhi salam has lined out for us very clearly. Okay, so that no, and maybe I'm just using this as a platform actually, but Labats, I'm using it anyway, that there are those who prevent one, for example, mothers would prevent fathers from seeing their children, or even vice versa, the other way. It's more cases the other way around, because the non-Muslim law would facilitate that for you, if you like. Or the, not necessarily facilitate it, but the consequences for that are difficult to implement. So there are, you know, Muslim fathers, the marriage broke down, don't see their kids for 5, 6, 7 years, long years. And this is a musibah, this is a calamity in the life of that individual who did that, who prevented that child or children from seeing the other parent. And I do not know what they would ever say to Allah Jalla wa'ala in Yawm al-Qiyamah for that action. So with regards to marriages, that sometimes, you know, it's not always about love, but sometimes responsibility is the main factor here, and then living like that, that's fine, as I mentioned, as long as you're fulfilling the roles. And if it does break down, you know, let each of you go in the way that is permitted for you and fulfill what Allah has allowed for you, and don't oppress another person. Wallahu a'lam.
Do you ever get worried that your child may click on the wrong video online? Do you wish there was a safe channel for your peace of mind? Well, there is. The number one rated Muslim kids channel in the world, One for Kids TV, is here to solve all these issues. The channel has no advertisements and is safe for your children to browse and watch their favorite videos. With a wide selection of cartoons, songs, educational videos, and much more, your children will not only stay entertained, but also learn so much about their deen. You can listen to songs while your device is switched off, and you can download videos to watch them offline. One for Kids TV is 100% run and owned by Muslims, which means the small amount you pay for your subscription is a continuous charity for you, as all the funds raised go towards the production of new cartoons and educational films for your children. The One for Kids TV app is now available on Apple devices, Apple TV, Android devices, Android TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku, so you can watch on most devices and smart TVs. Download now for a free 14-day trial.